Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free as a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12 o'clock. Boy, I think we got a good one lined up today. George Barber, who's the coach at Greenville University, who just scored 200 points in a 40-minute game, is going to join us at 10:30. Chris Kerber on the Blues at 10:45. Martin will be here at 11. H. Balzer on what happened with Isaac Bruce at the Hall of Fame vote at 11:20. Bob Ramsey's going to stop by at 11:40. Man, we are locked and loaded. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Gateway Motorsports Park. Please go to Gateway MSP and get some tickets for a summer of racing. Let's begin with lap one. One quick NFL thought to begin. I got to tell you, every TV and every radio national show had a common denominator yesterday. One of the top three or four topics, Julian Edelman and the Hall of Fame. I try not to watch or listen to many of those shows, but I do love, pardon the interruption, and I do love my friend Trey Wingo. But the rest, you know what? I get enough sports. Give me Netflix. Anyway, Edelman is a wonderful success story. I think I've mentioned this before. You know, despite the PED thing, you have a guy with no scholarships out of high school, one out of junior college, and picked number 232 in the seventh round by the Patriots. And he's carved out a wonderful career, 500 catches. And it's not over. And in the postseason, well, he's just insane. He's really good. But, you know, Robert Horry was really good in his postseason. David Freese was really good in his postseason. Jeff Supon was really good in his postseasons. But please, hold the brakes on the Hall of Freaking Fame. Do you know what happened on Saturday? Isaac Bruce was rejected. Isaac Bruce has twice as many catches, three times as many yards, and three times as many touchdowns. And you know, nobody even talks about Torrey Holt in the Hall of Fame. Nobody does. Well, he's got 400 more catches than Julian Edelman, 7,000 more yards, and 44 more touchdowns, and oh, by the way, seven more Pro Bowl appearances to Edelman's zero. So please hold the brakes on Julian Edelman and the Pro Football Hall of Fame, all right? You want to start putting a bunch of wide receivers? Okay. But when you're 248th in career receiving yards, you're not going to the Hall. You shouldn't. Mike Claiborne was with us yesterday on the topic.
Give me a break. You know, here's the other thing that troubles me about, and I think every sport has a flaw when it comes to the Hall of Fame and the selection process. But is this a popularity contest now? And I think Isaac Bruce is certainly worthy, and I'm not saying it because he's from St. Louis. You touched on it earlier. The numbers don't lie. I mean, he not only was a good player, but he was a good player in the biggest game of the season. Of you know, football. So how he's not in is a mystery. I know I believe Howard's still a voting member from St. Louis. I'd be interested to hear his thoughts on how that thing went down, because it's my understanding that people have to make a presentation on your behalf, which I think is wrong. You know, I just think the whole thing is flawed, and it's unfortunate that Isaac didn't go in this year. But let me tell you, if they put a receiver in before him, then we got a bigger problem going on.
Absolutely. Well stated. Boomer Esiason. Julian Edelman is definitely a Hall of Famer. Julian Edelman with 5,000 receiving yards and Isaac Bruce with 15,000. Is that a debate? All right, lap two. So, there's a great scripture reading, Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. I wish I had pleasant words to exchange about what's going to happen tonight. I don't have a good feeling. Let me tell you what's on television tonight. All right, Blues and Panthers, 6 o'clock, Fox Sports Midwest. Illinois at Michigan State. That's at 6 o'clock, ESPN2. Mizzou at Tennessee. That's at 8 o'clock, ESPN2. And Billikens hosting Dayton, 8 o'clock, CBS Sports Network. So let's just say I have $1,000 for you. If you had to guess the team that is going to win tonight, and I want to get Plowsy and Brian's thoughts on this in just a moment, or do you think we are really going 0 for Tuesday? I mean, let's look at this thing. Mizzou at Tennessee. Are you kidding me? At Tennessee? No freaking way. Tennessee could go to the Final Four. Illinois at Michigan State? Gosh, I like the way Illinois is playing. But at Michigan State? That's a Final Four team too, possibly. The Billikens have lost four in a row and face a Dayton team who's playing better than anybody in the conference right now. And the Billikens, well, they're thinner than Calista Flockhart. They put walk-ons on scholarships. They're practicing with managers. Travis said yesterday they're thinking about asking Larry Hughes to practice against them because they need bodies. They're working in three-on-three drills because they want it very competitive because, you know, if you're playing five-on-five with managers, it's really not that competitive. So let's go really competitive because we only got six guys who can play. They have maybe six, maybe seven healthy scholarship players. And they're facing one of the best teams in the conference, Dayton. Travis Ford yesterday on the confidence level of his squad.
A lot of people calling, talking to me, and, you know, don't jump off the ledge and all that stuff. I'm like, everything, you know, and they always ask, how's the confidence of your team? And I'm like, you know, the confidence, is, I think, is positive. The confidence comes from we were 5-0. So that's where you gain your confidence of knowing what you can do and what you're capable of doing. We've just hit a rough patch, and you got to play yourself out of it. You don't know when it's going to come or what's going to happen, but you've got to just keep moving forward and play yourself out of it and hopefully get a win at some point that makes you feel a lot better and build on it.
So this is going to be tough tonight. I think the team with the best chance of winning is the Note. Florida is just a 500 team. Blues are playing well. They have the goaltender. I mean, I don't think I'd bet on the Blues to win. But I think of the four tonight, they had the best chance of winning. Gentlemen, your thoughts? Let's begin with Brian.
Yeah, it's a depressing process of elimination, but I have no faith that either Mizzou or Illinois wins on the road. SLU seems to be really struggling right now, so it has to be the team that's winning, and that's the Blues. They've won 6 of 9. I mean, this dates back to prior to their break, but still, it has to be the Note.
All right, how about it?
This will be the time right here where Illinois takes the next step and gets that big road conference W. My confidence level is not that high, but I'm just going based upon how they played as of late. They have played really well. I'm just going with U of I.
Right. I love the fact that you support your team. But okay, I'm going to ask like this. I have $1,000 right here. And you get $1,000 if you pick one of those four teams that's going to win. Do you really think Illinois has a better chance of winning in East Lansing than the Blues do in Florida?
Absolutely not. I would take the Blues.
The game is in Champaign. That changes your mind.
Oh, wait a minute.
It doesn't change mine at all.
Oh, okay, good.
But that might alter a little bit. I still think Michigan State beats Illinois.
I'm thinking a tight win. Now you're maybe thinking about a 25-point slaughter.
Actually, that does change everything. Yeah. Not that they're going to win,
no.
But...
I'm going with my
might
team.
Might be closer, but...
Okay.
No money on the line on this one, though. Yeah.
The bottom line is, don't bet. All gamblers die broke, and if you bet on one of our local teams tonight, you're dying
broke.
Just
keep your money.
Yes. All right, lap three. Speaking of the Billikens, our tribute to their broadcast team, Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin. For 28 years and about 800 games, they've sat side by side. Earl Austin on the analysis, Bob Ramsey on the play-by-play. They go together like peanut butter and jelly, on and off the court.
He's just a marvelous partner who is egoless and is just a wonderful human being.
We just enjoy ourselves. You can tell we're not only the announcers, but we're fans. We love the sport. We just enjoy each other, and just we enjoy the coaches, the guys. But it comes out when we sit there and do those games for 2 hours.
They've seen nearly every great Billiken team up close and personal, including a magical night at the Scott Trade Center on February 12, 2003. You think they enjoy their job?
3, 2, 1, from 30 feet. He missed! The Billikens win! The Billikens win! The Billikens beat number 2 Louisville!
Earl is emotionally invested, and you know it's a big moment when those sort of pitched, sort of laugh, sort of wail comes across from Earl.
The Billikens beat second-ranked Louisville on their home floor. The Billikens, and the fans rush out onto the court. They knock off Louisville, 59-58. Number 2 Louisville goes down in St. Louis.
Hyperventilating. People still, you guys still play that. It's hilarious. That's, what, 17 years ago, and I'll go on a show, and guys will, I don't know where they have the call. Yeah, I always thought it was only on one station, but everywhere I go, so everybody has it. And
equally as famous is this 6 years ago, when Ramsey didn't like a call in the VCU game and wanted to protect his broadcast booth from the official.
They're going to call a cheap foul on Evans, and I'll tell you what, it's the thing, I'm on the air right now, stay away from me. Official tried to get into our broadcast, we won't have it.
No.
We're not going to have it.
Rammer just didn't bite an eye. He just kind of stuck his head up, talked to the hand, and kept it moving.
And I don't know why I did it out. It wasn't being a tough guy. It was really panic, and I gave him the Heisman. I gave him the stiff arm and said, this is our broadcast. Stay out of it. Leave me alone, or whatever I said. And my fear was, and I was, that was not bravado. It was fear. My fear was I was going to get the team a technical.
Ramsey, a very likable gentleman, has a signature phrase when disagreeing with the officials.
That is the worst call I have ever seen.
Oh, foul, are you kidding me?
That is the worst call I have ever seen. That is the worst call I have ever seen.
We tend to have some conversations a little bit over there. And Bob and Earl usually tend to agree with me when I turn around and say, that was a terrible call. They usually just shake their head, yep. But no, I do hear them, and sometimes I'll hear them complaining about the refs, and I'll turn around and be like, yeah, you're right. Say it a little louder. They seem to get away with it a little more than I do.
The histrionics don't hinder the greatness of the broadcast. It only enhances it. And it is a great broadcast. Ramsey is so crisp, and Earl so analytical.
Turns and faces against Frampton. Backs in, kick out, Isabel, NBA three. Bang, you got another one.
Once again, off the two-man game, this time Javon.
Austin scored nearly 2,000 points at Lindenwood and had his number retired. He serves now as the sports editor of the St. Louis American. The nephew of Hall of Famer Wes Unseld has always adored the sport.
I just love the game and love to talk about it, and it beats working.
No one has seen the Billikens hit the floor in history more than Ramsey. We're talking 1,037 games. Ramsey's a talk show host by day, but everybody knows him for being Billiken Bob.
So once I realized I couldn't hit a curveball, and that came early, play-by-play and being part of a team, and it's as close as I could ever get to replicating the feeling of being in the action.
And it's all about the blend. Different backgrounds, different skill sets, all coming together for 2 hours a night, just over 30 times a year.
There's no better tandem than Bob and Earl promoting Billiken basketball. You've got Bob and his emotional excitement, no better marketer, and then you've got the community treasure in Earl. You've got Earl being the consummate basketball guy, and they are the perfect combination I could ever dream of to have covering your team.
If there are Billikens on the floor and people in the stands,
rebound Pritchett,
Bob and Earl will be on the call.
In the paint again.
Left four. Non-sports thought of the day. One of the many reasons women are different than men And guys, see if you can hear me out, because you both have significant women in your life. One, a passionate girlfriend, the other, a newlywed. So Monique is a tough young lady. Harder on the kids, not real sympathetic with me, and she's a freaking nurse, too. Worked like a dog as a perfusionist in operating rooms for decades with open heart surgeons, and she did that for a long time, in addition to raising three kids and dealing with me. So she's tough. But anyway, she now works a day and a half a week at Westminster. As Dom likes to say, she's the assistant part-time nurse. So now, without kids at home all the time, she has occasional lunches out, maybe once a week. And here's my point. I feel like Strickland with all these turns before I got to the point. But she has lunches that go 2.5 to 3 hours. It's her and just one friend. And they're not watching a game. There's nothing in front of them except each other. Just two of them having a salad and talking and talking and talking and talking. How do they do it? How do women do that? I mean, if I was eating lunch with Larry Bird, after like 40 minutes, you know, after the steak had been eaten, I'd say, thanks, Larry, see you soon. Or if I'm with Reggie Jackson, which I won't be, an hour in, I'd say, Reg, gotta go. I mean, I can't sit there for 3 hours looking at someone and talking and talking and talking. How do they do it? Your thoughts?
I mean, they're smarter than we are, for this one, so they have a lot more to
more
talk
depth.
About. And I think they hit topics and kind of talk and talk and drain that topic to where guys will kind of just brush around the point, say, you know, how when you ask a guy how you're doing, it's pretty much a 2 to 3 word answer. With
yes.
a female, it could turn into 10 or 15 minutes. We could branch out to 4 or 5 different issues in which you hone in and figure out each one. So that's why those probably take 3.5 hours. Guys are just dumb, and we lose interest pretty quickly.
Guys are just dumb.
We are.
Brian, thoughts?
I'd get bored.
Yeah.
At a 3-hour luncheon.
With one person?
Yeah, I'd get, and maybe that's a me problem, but I don't think I could care. Even from like a dinner with a group of people, I have like a 2-hour max.
Yeah.
If we're out to eat, we got to go somewhere else. That's, lunch would be tough. Also, I feel like the day's gone then.
Yeah.
If you meet for lunch at 1 o'clock, you're done at 4.
I called her. She had a 12 o'clock lunch, and I called her like 2:45. So what are you doing? I'm still at lunch. What? I mean, I was at O.B. Clark's for about 1.5 hours the other night, but there was a bunch of guys. There were games on. It's a whole different story. But all right, lap 5. The MLS 4 STL. They made a trip to New York last Thursday. Carolyn Kendall, Betts, and Jim Cavanaugh. To chat with the commissioner, Don Garber. They called the meeting, Jim Cavanaugh and Carolyn Kendall Betts. And all we're waiting for is two words. You're in. They told the commish that the team is for the city and not them. The MLS was supportive in almost everything that was said. MLS 4STL also explained they're working hard with HOK on the stadium design. Keep in mind that Carolyn Kendall Betts and Jim Cavanaugh went to all the cool MLS stadiums, took copious notes, and working with HOK to take a little bit of each and make this a state-of-the-art stadium. They will get a visit from Commissioner Garber. It's a good way to, you know, to keep the dialogue going, especially with Sacramento getting a little momentum. I think the MLS wants to make sure that there are businesses and there's real corporate support, and it's just something they had to do because they've kind of been on the back burner a little bit and nobody hears much. And I think people want to know what they can do to try to maneuver this thing. So bottom line is let's get the HOK stadium design done. Let's start selling some corporate sponsorship. Let's make it almost impossible for the MLS to say no to St. Louis. And I think they will. I think they'll say yes, actually. All right, lap 6. Stream of consciousness, lowest Super Bowl rating in 10 years. Second lowest for a team in the Super Bowl, that city, for Los Angeles. So congratulations to them.
How is it possible that L.A. got lower than the national average on ratings?
Yeah.
The market where the team is playing, that you were begging for to have a team in, and they can't get above the national average for the Super Bowl ratings?
Yeah, so like more people like in Charlotte were watching the Super Bowl probably
right.
than in Los Angeles. That's crazy. St. Louis was right about even with L.A., right? About
42 rating, 65 share. Really close. So, one more thought about the game. Gladys Knight, at age 74, did the national anthem. So, it was controversial because Colin Kaepernick had criticized the selection and criticized Gladys Knight. Now, keep in mind that Gladys Knight owns a community center where she resides in North Carolina for kids. She's raised $400,000 in that area for a children's learning center. She said on more than one occasion over the last couple of months that she's been fighting for civil rights her entire life. She sang the anthem, and then she made a statement. And let me read some of this. I understand that Mr. Kaepernick is protesting. Two things, police violence and injustice. It's unfortunate that our national anthem has been dragged into this debate when the distinct senses of the national anthem and fighting for justice should each stand alone. And then she wrote, I've been in the forefront of this battle longer than most of those voicing their opinions to win the right to sing our country's national anthem on a stage as large as Super Bowl 53. I pray the anthem brings us all together. So, I think if a seven-time, 74-year-old Grammy Award winner wants to do the anthem, and she's proud to do it, she should be allowed to do it without facing scorn. What do y'all think? So let's take a short timeout. Got a lot of topics on the menu. We've got a good show lined up. How does a team score 200 points in a 40-minute college basketball game? Who's between the pipes for the Blues? Why did Howard Balzer's committee, and I don't think it was Howard's fault, he was pushing hard, but how could they reject Isaac Bruce and the Billikens and Dayton tonight? We got great guests. We'll take a short time out. We're coming right back.